Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, once again, it is Wednesday nights, and you're here with Life and Leadership Network with Reverend Morale P. Brown, a.k.a. Coach Brown, and a special conversation today with Mrs. Kimberly Copeland from University of Long Island, and five tips to help your children succeed in college. And let's give a nice warm hand to Coach Morale herself. Let's give a hand.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ron. Welcome back. I pray that all is well and was well and that you are an overcomer. And, wow, what a pleasant surprise.
I'm going to tell you like we say in South Carolina, slow but show.
Well,
I think I'm the only one that picked that one up.
Yes, but check this out. I mean, when it's all said and done, you know, when that turtle is moving, although the turtle is moving very slow, the turtle is very purposeful, slow or not. Once you have purpose in front of you, you won't lose your aim. So thank you. And I want to say thank you to Dr. Winborn, who is the executive and president of NEO Nation. That's the New Economic Opportunity. And just for all how he stood, you know, in the gap and, you know, was the engineer. So I really appreciate that. And so, Max Pham, we're in for an exciting, exciting show tonight. I just love coming on, and I just pray that each of you are getting over the hump. Wednesday is considered getting over the hump, and I'm energized and motivated and very encouraged to encourage you. There are some schools here in North Carolina. Some schools open up, some district has, and some district hasn't. But the bottom line is being prepared. We call it school readiness, meaning that we want to talk about tonight the five strategies. I may give you more, I may give you less, to help you develop your child or support your child who is in high school. Last week, we talked about getting your child ready in school age. And so I want to hit tonight the high schoolers, and we have a guest that's going to be coming on. She'll be ready in a few, Mrs. Kimberly Ann Copeland. And I'm excited to have her on. This will be her first time on, and she's been supporting me in on various endeavors. And I'm excited about that. And she's going to be talking about five tips to help your children in college. And then later on in the segment of the show, Dr. Ron, we are going to have an early Q&A, and then we'll have a second Q&A where we'll be talking about the scholarship, and I'll get into that in a little bit more detail. So, again, Max Pham, thank you for just supporting the Maximize Your Life show and being here, you know, with us each Wednesday. And August marks the sixth month of just giving information so that you can use your ability so that you can achieve what we call maximum impact. As far as life is concerned, I like to look at the total person, spirit, soul, and body, holistically, the different areas of development. And I believe that when you are focusing on your life, your personal life, then in terms of leadership and development, then you can maximize in all those other areas. And so just I want to get started. I believe that when it comes down to parents, being a parent, whether you are a new parent or you are a guardian or you have multiple children or one child, when it comes down to a high schooler, the reality is a whole different world. I have 23 nieces and nephews, and I have helped to rear and raise them and support them. And the reality is I still support them, even though they're young adults and they're having children of their own. And then just having the experience of being a teacher and then substituting, starting out in daycare, family daycare over 25 years ago. It is just interesting of what the curriculum, Dr. Ron, that we go through, the rigorous curriculum, and how to teach a child, how children learn, how they develop. And it's so important because of the fact that there are so many surprises that the book and the school and university could not give me, Toro College in New York. Kudos to them. And, there are things you just learn in the classroom. There are things that you'll learn from your children, from your nieces, your nephews, you know, from the neighbor's children. And what the basic of learning from the children is, it's nothing like being prepared. And I have the pleasure of working with Ms. Pam Kelly. She's part of the American Business Women Association. And one of her buzzwords or a word for, I'll say, 2021 is preparedness. And as I always say to my Max Pham, I really maximize this time, and I make the most of this opportunity in that I make sure that I am prepared, that what you're getting is really fresh information week after week, except when we do a replay. And so parents, I'm saying this and I'm modeling this so that you can understand that no matter what you're going to do, in order for your child or your household to be successful academically, there must be preparation. And when it comes down to high school, you want to start way before, as we said last week, in terms of elementary, pre-K, and then junior high, and now your child is in high school. High school is a whole different classification in terms of learning. It's preparing you for college. When your child gets into the ninth grade, they will sit with their guidance counselor, and the guidance counselor will give them classes, and they'll say, for example, they may be taking engineering, they may be taking marketing, personal finance, they may be taking what else? Mallow Creek High, come back memory. In terms of geography, science, biology, and they get those courses, and the reality is most of the time they don't have a choice in their courses. They will declare a major, and then it's up to them really to follow that major. Now, sometimes if the classes are full, then the guidance counselor may just place them in another class, and that class, let's just say they place them in a class for apparel, and they're on that engineering track. And I'm taking this pretty much from the tracks at Mallow Creek High, where I substituted consistently for 2 years right before the pandemic. And so if they're on a engineering track and the guidance counselor would just say to them, okay, in order so that you can fulfill your credits for this particular semester, we're going to give you apparel. And usually because the kid is not passionate about apparel, they can be lackadaisical, you know, laissez-faire, where they're like, not part of my major. But the reality is, you know, to the young people, young gentlemen and ladies, queens and kings, all of those classes are very important because your ninth, your 10th year is very important because it's your foundation classes. And what you want to do is set goals to be successful, set goals to maximize and make the most of your education. And then really, you know, when you're setting those goals, so you said, well, you know, Coach Brown, what do you mean by that? When I think of best practices in goal setting, I think of the SMART goals. For example, the M, it stands for, I'm sorry, the S stands for specific, significant, making sure it's important and you being very specific that you want to graduate on time. And then, for example, you start seeing what you need to do, classes you need to take. And then you start making sure that your guidance counselor is giving you those classes based on your track. And then you look at what the M, which is measurable or meaningful, in terms of measuring where you want to be and how you want to do in this particular class. Let's just say biology. Biology can be very tricky for those people that are not astute in how the understanding how the human body works. So with the human body, you realize, okay, you know what? We're learning about various systems in the body. We're learning about the brain. We're learning about the central nervous system. We learn about all these different organs, and the names are basically, some of them are Latin. And so you want to become astute and set goals that you're going to now become word savvy or word smith so that you can understand those words. And then you have A for attainable, making sure that your goals are attainable. When you're starting out, let's just say with biology, you want to not feel that the minute you get in this class, you're going to be an expert, but you start out as the novice that you are, and you give yourself time to grow. And that brings me to point one. You want to create a system of doing your homework. If you decide you are working, say, at Chick-fil-A in the afternoon, and I know at Mallow Creek High, we usually get out at 2:15, and then there are some of the students who will choose to work. and they usually will go to work about 3 o'clock. And so for that, you want to plan that if you go to work, say from 3 to 7 o'clock, then you need to actually make a schedule so that you can customize a good study plan for you. Again, we're talking about succeeding in high school, 5 strategies to help you. And your parents, mom, dad, uncles, aunt, nieces, nephews, guardians, it is your responsibility to make it your business, okay, get the 411 on your child to know what their schedule's like, making sure or ensuring and supporting them that their homework is done and that there is study time. And as they continue with the SMART goals, the R is relevant or rewarding. And so when they set out these goals saying, hey, I am going to ace biology and I'm going to ace engineering, there is, you know, a reward to that where you feel satisfied. And as you start your planning of your studies, if there's something that you don't understand, you can talk with your guidance counselor. Each student in the entire school is assigned a guidance counselor, and that guidance counselor is there to support them academically, socially, emotionally, and holistically. And the guidance counselor is also there in addition if there are some issues or barriers to the child learning or barriers in the home where the child may not be thriving, where they begin to provide support to parents. And so you want to seek out help. You want to seek out help, which is number 2. And your guidance counselor, you want to seek out help from your parents or your uncles, your aunt, your neighbors. I love the technology in terms of Google. And this is what I say, Google, 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 Google all day long. A lot of students, they like to go on to different sites. They like to see who's the who's who in music. They like to see what's trending and things like that. And they use Google for that. And but I'm going to encourage you, that same device that you're using, you can also Google the information. And when it comes down to research, you want to go to different sites because for your resource, right, for information, just to be able to take the 2 different information and see if they're either saying the same thing or something that's similar, to be able to learn biology, to learn engineering. There are sites where you can actually go on and look up information on YouTube as well. Yes, you know, in addition to Google, there's YouTube, and there's so many different devices, and you just punch it in, plug it in, speak it in your phone. It's really quick, fast, and in a hurry. And the other thing in terms of the SMART goals, the last one is T, and that stands for time-bound or trackable, making sure that you are tracking how you're studying, making sure that you have sought out help, and that you are reaching that goal that you want to pass that class. Because the reality is, for Malla Creek High, I believe they started today. Some schools started last week. Raleigh, from what I understand, maybe starting like the end of this, actually tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. And so every school is starting on a different track. But the reality is, you want to make sure you're taking good notes. The moment your teacher hands out that syllabus, you want to make sure that you keep that syllabus. It's like your Bible, because it's going to give you what the requirement of the class is, what is your responsibility, and what is the responsibility of the teacher. And in terms of that syllabus, then you want to start mapping out your study time, taking notes in class, listening from beginning to ending. The minute the teacher gives out the handout or tell you turn the page, you know, 1 or whatever the case is, you want to make sure that you're listening intently and taking good notes. And that's really important, that you also use the notes wisely, making sure that perhaps if you get a ride on the bus and you're going home and you're not working, making sure maybe you use that time wisely to look over your notes, because it's very fresh at that point. And because when you're talking about four blocks in high school, usually four blocks, you should have some time on the bus that you can actually open up your notebook, open up your loose leaf, whatever, and just look at those notes and go over it and see what is important. And good teachers will say to you, okay, I really need you to pay attention. Okay, if I were you, I'll jot this down. And that's your cue. And then internally, you will also realize, like, wow, I need to be paying attention. Oh, I think that this may be on the test because the teacher kept emphasizing it, you know. And then when you, the other, we talk about creative study habits, seek help, and taking notes, and then keeping track of your assignment. So you have, like I said, usually four classes. You may have geography, engineering, like I said, guidance counselor, maybe threw in there apparel. And then you have math. Let me give you math. And so with those classes, and then, of course, there's a science, and which each of those classes, you want to keep track of the assignments, when the assignments is due, when you have a test, when you have a pretest, when you have your midterm, when you have your final, when you have the end of grade testing. And for high school, there's the SAT, and then there's this other T, the ACT, A-C-T. And if you decide you want to take any other classes to get you into specialized colleges, you can also take those type of tests as well. But you're making sure in the timeline that you're putting it in your calendar, because when you're setting the SMART goals, right, you want to be specific, you want it to be measurable, you want it to be attainable, relevant, and time-bound. And you don't start out, say, today in class, and you don't open up another book until it's the end of the year. That's not going to ensure your success. But speaking in the affirmative, you open up your book, and you begin to internalize the information, seek out additional help, and things of that nature. The other thing that's good, and I believe this is important, it helps me, is to make flashcards, say biology, if there's, you know, if you're not sure what the esophagus is, you can look that up, write it down, and then have somebody test you. And, you know, they'll just say, okay, esophagus, and then you will actually repeat or tell them what it means. Flashcards, also sometimes just using acronyms for what you want to study. For example, I'll just give you a quick example. Today, as I was reading about God, and I was reading about the fact that he's infinite and he's eternal and he's a self-existent being, I begin to do an acronym so that I know it, but I begin to study it a little bit deeper today. And I was like, okay, I, infinite, E, eternal, S, self-existent. And that's the way you can learn information and really get to memorize what you need to know. And sometimes school can be very fast paced. It can get convoluted. I'm not, you know, saying this as if it's easy and it's not a hard task to stay abreast and keep abreast with the information. It can be very challenging, but the other strategies I would encourage you is to try a study group. I remember being at William H. Maxwell Vocational High School in East New York or Brooklyn. And so my high school years was a vocational school. And what I would do is I would sit with the students who were actually studious. That would be one. They had school in their mind. They weren't trying to play around. They were very serious. And if there was, let's say, I was pretty good in science, history, let's just say math. So I would actually get with them, and we would race to do our work in school or our homework in school. And then we would also have a study group. Same thing with college, is that you can learn how to get along with your peers so that you can work along with and maybe one partner or multiple classmates, you know, in science and geography, you know, mathematics or engineering, so that you can understand the concept and exchange ideas and learning how to navigate a group, the group dynamics. And so it's very important, again, that you create a study schedule, seek help when you don't understand something, keep track of your assignments and your tests, try a study group, and make some flashcards. Again, parents, and supporting your child, I'm empowering you. Partner with your child in their education. Create a study schedule. Seek help when you don't understand even how to help your child, or you don't understand the math or the science. Keep track of your child's study assignments and their tests. And then try encouraging your child to join a study group and making flashcards or whatever is going to help your child, whatever their learning styles are, helping your child in that area. And it's interesting because there are, I believe most, well, here in North Carolina, on this side of Charlotte, I believe a lot of the schools, more of the children are in school than remote. And but either way, these are still strategies that can help your child succeed. Rather, they are hybrid, which is in person and remote, or if they're remote, you know, either one, to be able to help your child and to make sure that they succeed in school. Dr. Ron, is Ms. Kimberly Copeland?
Yes, she's here. Yes, she's here.
Excellent. So we can go ahead and introduce her.
We're going to have Mrs. Kimberly Ann Copeland. Yes, we're going to have Mrs. Kimberly Ann Copeland, Long Island University. 5 tips on helping your children to succeed in college. Let's give her a nice hand and bring her in.
Wow, how awesome is that welcome?
Yes, we believe in just showing you our love and our hospitality. And Dr. Rogers does a great job.
And Coach Morale pays very well.
Oh, yes. I will definitely see you after the show, Dr. Ron. My goodness. It's a pleasure to have you on, Mrs. Kimberly Copeland. Wow. I'll just give a quick background, and then you can just tell the audience a little bit about yourself. Ms. Kimberly Copeland, she has a BA in sociology from Long Island University in New York City, and she has taken courses such as marriage and family, anthropology, and so now I'm just going to let her just tell you some fun facts and some details about her life, and then she will get into talking about the 5 tips to help your children in college. And my, she does have some experience. And then after her, Dr. Ron, we're going to do something just a little bit differently tonight because we just want to get both these topics in. We'll have the Q&A, you know, say around 7:40, 7:50, okay?
Okay.
All right, Mrs. Copeland, take it away.
Hi, good evening, Dr. Ron. I appreciate the welcome, the warm welcome. I want to say to Morelle, thank you. Morelle, my sister, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
It's a pleasure. I feel honored. I feel privy, and I always want to give back. I always want to give back because, as you know, it has not been easy for us coming up. And I know you've heard the story. You've talked to mom from a single family home. So I just mentioned to Morelle the other day that she is one of the first, what they call first gen college students, college graduate, in terms of where our parents, or at least one of the parents, did not go. And she was able to obtain her master's. So kudos and shout out to her.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. So I come from a big family, a family of that, which let's say my mother raised 8 of us. My husband comes from a large family. His mom raised 9. We were blessed with 3, and all 3 of our kids have received degrees. Thank you. My oldest daughter in Florida, she has bachelor's in theology, the 4-year program in theology, and then she also has some medical courses under her belt. My middle son just received a certification for nursing. Most recently, he's working in a hospital in New Jersey here. My youngest daughter, she received her associate's. However, she just went back to school for radiology. So
awesome.
Nursing is really where one of those courses where the money is, and it's a course where they always need people. They always need nurses, certified assistants. And at that note, shout out to Quetta, my niece from South Carolina, who I remember her telling me she didn't think it was attainable. But now she's done a nursing course. Anthony Brown, one of my other nephews. So we definitely want to encourage you to inspire anybody that want to go to college and think it might be impossible, that it is attainable. As Morel said, it's attainable. And you just have to trust. You have to believe. Can't give up. Can't get discouraged. Sometimes it will get discouraged. So one of the things for me was a barrier is I went to school. I didn't want to go to a local college, but yet at the same time, I wasn't prepared to go away to stay on campus. So I went to Long Island University, and I did receive a Bachelor of Arts in Sociology. I didn't start there. I wanted to do business administration because that's what my auntie, and we actually have the same alumni, my aunt Veronica, we have the same alumni. She went to Long Island University, a business administration, worked for Jacoby Hospital. So I didn't really have or think to ask a lot of questions in terms of what should I major in, what should I take. So the barrier for me was after I started with business management, marketing, advertising, I realized that I had to take algebra. Statistics,
yes.
Quantitative analysis, and I was kind of stuck at algebra. So I said, how am I going to get through geometry, so on and so forth?
Right.
There are tutors. There are after-school programs where they would help you with the tutoring, one-on-one, or your classmates or your buddies. So you can go for it. For me, I felt that it would be too time-consuming because I kind of wanted to wrap up a 4-year program, which actually turned out to more. It turned out to, let's say, 6 or 7, but it was okay because I did have kids in between. I went back to work and I went back. But the barrier for me was sometimes I didn't have enough fare to take the train to downtown Brooklyn. We were from Eastern New York, so to go downtown Brooklyn was kind of hard. And I got so discouraged I wanted to give up. And then one day, I was literally like down to almost my last dime, I thought. And my mother had like a spirit, you know, a little spirit change. But as I took the train that day, I said, I'm going to press my way and go in. I found a wallet with some money in it.
Wow.
That kind of helped me. And then the gentleman that I was dating at that time, which is my husband, he was working.
Yes.
He just started working, but he was able to actually pick me up from school sometime and take me and drop me off. So that was a success and a blessing. And then I took advantage of the college work study, where you can work, and then you can still go to school. I worked in the call center for the computer lab. That's where I worked. I did, you know, the antiquated system of picking up the calls, transferring the calls to different various departments of the school. So that's one resource you got. You could work, but if you work, sometimes you can't achieve the whatever certification or you're going for in a certain amount of time. So my youth mentor at that time in the church, he said, it's good if, you know, you get a job, the money is good, but unless it's really paying really well, you want to really focus for just doing your education and getting to it and getting out the way. So, again, like, because the struggle was so hard for us coming up with the other children and family and then everybody trying to pitch in, I did work, so that delayed me graduating a little bit. But you do have the college work study. I worked also off campus where I did some babysitting. I paid my dues. I worked at Wendy's. I worked at a Wendy's there, a local Wendy's. It was supposed to be a management program. Funny story about that. I ended up didn't stay because, you know, you start from the bottom and, you know, you're supposed to work your way up. But it was kind of a catch to me too. So not to be too long-winded, I want to tell you that story at a later time if I can. However, scholarships are available. Also, there's plenty of scholarships that are available. You just have to search, help your child. will do it on their own. My oldest daughter, she did everything on her own. I didn't really have to even help her other than sign on the dotted line for her application. Some other children may need an extra boost, an extra push. But look for those scholarships. They have certain programs where they may want to accept a female into a program, into a science program, or they want to accept a male into a local community or a state where they don't have many of those male professions. They're looking for a lot of male doctors, a lot of male nurses right now, especially male nurses, because with the way it is, it's so demanding. If a female is there working and they have to go out on family leave, they, you know, that's why they're looking for more men in those areas. So you search out, help find out what's comfortable for them in terms of what they want their major to be. Also try to zoom in on what their passion is, in addition to consulting the Lord, asking them for direction, guidance, and order. My daughter, the oldest daughter, she actually received a scholarship where she graduated in the top 20 percentile of the class. So she got a free ride for Middlesex County College in New Jersey. She was able to do a two-year, then once she did a two-year and she had to pass with basically A+, then they would give her the other 2 years. So she started off like that. She was able to get that scholarship. Real quick, the other portion of it is if they get the TAP, which is Tuition Assistance Program, PAL, those are the grants that they can get financially, but the parents have to be at a certain income. So then that could be a trick. Not a trick, let's say catch 22 almost, in a sense where sometimes you may not qualify. Some people want to, you know, kind of change the app a little bit, but I never felt comfortable. I feel like I'd be the one to get caught. But you want to be as honest as you can. If you start saving, they have the 529 program where they're taking money out of your paycheck towards the college, funds for the children. You can start as early as when they're young, as babies, and with the cost rising, when I went 1989-ish, the cost has definitely gone up. So one last point I want to hit on is that go for the scholarships, look for everything that you can possibly can. Sometimes churches have a scholarship program where they may be able to help you with not the whole ride, not even really a good drop in a bucket, but it's very encouraging to them if they get something. My children, for the most part, they got some aid, not a whole lot. Oh, they also worked at McDonald's. Please let me give a shout-out to McDonald's.
Yes, they did.
Starting off, and they helped them. I think it was maybe $500 a quarter. They helped them with that. But anything that they had to pay, they got little loans, as little amount of loans as possible. They actually really paid off most of their schooling on their own by working at McDonald's, working at Macy's, their job, so that way when they graduate, they didn't have to pay back a lot of loans. We were only able to help them with a certain amount because, you know, by this time we're still paying loans back. We're still working to achieve, you know, the American dream, which is the house, the car. And we've helped them. We definitely helped them in that way where they didn't have to pay bills. Definitely want to try to take out no loans if you can avoid them. Don't take out any loans. Don't get a lot of credit cards, so on and so forth. So that's what I can say right now. Does that cover everything that you were looking for mostly? Are we running out of time?
Yes. Very, very interesting, you know, just talking about your journey. What I would like you to also cover, just the emotional barriers that children or young adults are dealing with. Just at one point when the pandemic hit in 2020, how they were like suddenly just had to go to remote learning, something that was new for a lot of the college students where, you know, the socializations was minimal and different things like that. So just talk about just some of the background scene with your children, you know, how Kiana handled that, things like that. And then how, you know, parents.
Okay. Definitely. I pray and, you know, I'm going to really think conscientiously to pray for all the kids that's in high school, all the children that's in school period that's going to higher learning. It was very different. It was definitely almost a culture shock for me, so I could only imagine them. Mm-hmm. So even my son, he was, once you do the nursing program, you know if there's a continuation every year, you have to continue to get other certifications or less tutor modules to keep up with the learning. So he had to go back for the four-year program. He did the 2 years associate, 2 years for the nursing program, then still going back to 2 years for now the bachelor's. And he wants to go high because if you want a certain field, then the more education you normally have to have, which is physician assistant. And now he's considered to be a travel nurse. So in the middle of his program of certified nursing, he had to they shut it down where he could not go into the building. So he was like, oh my God. So he had to do it online. And it was kind of stressful because, you know, you have other things going on. You got to be able to use the computer. You got to be able to concentrate and have that quiet study time and be able to also be flexible. So now he's at a point where he can do it at his own pace. So it's working out a little bit better. Same thing for my daughter. Once she did a 2 year, then she wanted to decide exactly what feel to still go into. So don't panic if they want to change their mind and they're not sure and they want to change their major. If they're not sure, don't panic. Don't worry. Just trust God that it's all going to work out for the good and they'll be able to at least still get a job where they'll be able to afford whatever they have to do. So for her now, she does on school learning, but she also is hybrid where she has to go into the classes for her lab. They are going to be going into the hospital soon, so they want them to have a certain kind of mask that's fitted, like if it has to be an N95 or better. That was a lot also to then make sure that she's current and updated with all of her shots. I'm not very sure with the COVID, if they want you to have it, I'm going to tend to believe that, yes, especially if you're in the nursing field, they do want you to have those shots, updated records. She had to fax in a lot of things. She had to go make sure she had a physical, fax and forms and stuff like that. She's still actually working on that as she go, but she finished the summer program. So shout out to her. Let's give her a hand.
That's awesome.
Applaud. That's my baby. That's my baby. She will be.
Thank you,
Ron. She will be 25 in November. So it's amazing because to see where we came from and where we had, you know, how we had to maneuver and struggle almost. At one point, I even had to commute because we moved from New York to Jersey. So I had to commute back to New York to finish up my program. But I did it with the help of God, my mom helping out, watching with the kids during the summertime, my stepdad. And even my siblings, they all pitched in. We kind of helped each other along. We're going to school with different things. So it was definitely a plus. But with the COVID, we just have to continue to trust God. Still be as careful as you possibly can.
Yes. And one thing I really did want to mention, because I read it last week, and I knew it before, but stress is not good. Mm-hmm. You got to de-stress as much as you possibly can. Try to stay calm, keep calm, trust God, take your vitamins, get all your sleep, get your rest, your relaxation, your exercise, because stress can actually break down your immune system.
Yes,
I'm not sure if everybody knew it and remember it, but it's one of the things that can break down your immune system. And a lot of college kids, they really can stress themselves out. So try not to stress about it, worry about it, and just do the best you can. One of the oldest schools is Harvard. One of the largest schools are Yale. And those schools have been in existence since like 1636, 1800. And it was always a thing of learning, and sometimes that's how they measure you, with your social status. If you're not a doctor or a lawyer or a reverend or a preacher,
right.
Social status. But you have to do what you're called to do, even if you're called to go into politics, religion. Just trust and believe that you can do it, and you can only do the best that you can. So we're going to take the weight off your shoulders in terms of saying that you have to do this because you're the first one in the family, or you're the youngest, and you want to do it. We want to take that stress off of them, believe them, and really just support them in any way we can. And for everybody, you know, even ourselves, whatever professions we're in, try not to stress this about the COVID and everything that's going on, and just basically get some, you know, relaxation, do something fun, and just enjoy life, because we can only live this life, and we want to live it the best of the ability that we have and be a legacy to the oncoming generation.
Well, thank you so much, Mrs. Copeland. Wow, this has been great.
You're welcome.
Just to wrap up, you know, in terms of this particular segment, just in terms of that you can pretty much work supporting your child, working at McDonald's, working at Burger King, or, you know, creating their own businesses while they're in school so that they can help fund their college education. And you said something that was very important, Kimberly, in terms of, at the end, you know, Harvard and these Ivy League colleges that have been in existence, and they cost, you know. And, you know, and then you talked about how your daughter, Kiana, won a scholarship or received a scholarship, and it paid for her college at the community level. And so parents, she's talking about, you can either do community school or you can do Ivy League school. And but either way, you want to make sure that you are helping to pay off that debt, so that when your child graduates from college, they won't be $200,000 in debt. And we know that a lot of things is changing, and I won't be long-winded with this, changing is towards the jobs that are popular. As you know, Mrs. Copeland said earlier, nursing, healthcare, that's a big deal, technology. But yet there are students that may not have that aptitude to go to school and get that particular degree and then graduate, you know, doing really well. And so you want to think about that when you're selecting the school. The other thing that Mrs. Copeland pretty much reiterate, that every child learns at a different rate. This is the way I'm summarizing it, that, you know, one child may do well. You know, mom, I just need you to sign this line, you know, on the tap form. The other child, you may have to keep reminding them, you know what, it's time that we go look at schools, or it's time that you declare a major, or it's time that you get serious about your major. And providing that support for each of your child, and then respecting them as they learn differently, and even as they are, one may be more excited about school and the other may not be that excited. And then, of course, study habits. You know, one child may be dedicated, the other child may not be that dedicated, but as the parent, you're going to be there to support them as well. And then just overcoming some of the social-emotional barriers of the impact of COVID-19 on the college students, whether they're hybrid, remote, or in person. Dr. Ron, would you like to add something, and then we'll open up the lines? You don't feel pressured.
definitely. Well, you know, one of the things I would say to parents is to start a study habit early, in the kids' preschool, and when the kids are like five, one in the first grade, started getting them into a study habit. And also another thing I would tell parents with the older kids, teach them time management. That's one thing that's very important. It's weird to me that students have that have good academic backgrounds with students that are in advanced courses. They tend to give them preparatory programs to go to college. But the kids that have academic challenges, they don't give it to them. And I think that would be most beneficial. And I think children need to – because I one thing I noticed, and like you said, Pastor Morrell and Sister Kimberly also hit on this, kids have different academic needs. They have different ways of receiving information. And I know y'all both know this from being parents as well. And I'm a parent, father of six, and we want to talk about all my great grandkids, but we want to start calling our names. We miss everybody, you know. But you know, it's so important that one thing Mrs. Copeland said that was so important: their passion. You know, watch your kids. Yeah. What something. My youngest son wanted to be a rapper, and I said, "Oh my God, you know what we gonna do with this?" You know, but a counselor. Fountain University, a college in Florida that was a musically orientated, and she said to him, well, you can go there and you can study, you know, you can study your craft of being a rapper and you can increase your ability by going to that college. And he was very excited about that because the fact of the matter is it coincided with his interest of being a rapper. And then, and quite obviously, I'll tell you, he's 30 years old now, and he's not doing rapping, you know.
Okay,
so
alrighty.
They change as they go along, you know. And three kids later, I guess no rapping for that, right? So, but I think it's so important, study habits. I think it's so important at the younger age to get kids into a time management. Okay, now we're going to stop and we're going to do this particular, we're going to study this. Because kids are more easy to adapt at that younger age. And if they get into a good study habit mentality, it would take them up into the higher grades, you know.
That's true.
And so I tell parents, always get, you know, start with the younger kids, get them into a good study habit, and also get them time management. You don't have to really do it like corporate America does time management, but you can do it in a way that is just a part of the whole process of learning and studying. Like both of you said, and I'm going to reemphasize that again. I'm not saying this twice because I'm old. I'm saying it because I want to emphasize it. You know, well, he's 71. You know what he's talking about. You know, I know I'm going to say everything I can say now. If I get 90, I don't have to say nothing else. Anyway, you know, it's just so important, the passion of the child. And that's one thing I find the school systems are not doing. They're not really emphasizing things that are passionate to children. And I think if we had a musical, you know, they took out music in the school, they took out the sports and stuff like that. And I think if they reemphasize on those things, because I remember when I was growing up, football players, you know, was told that, okay, if you don't do A, B, C, and D in school, you cannot play, you know, on the varsity or whatever. And so that made them go and emphasize to do better. But and now we're in a technological environment. Everything has to be technology. That's where the money's at. Right. And like Sisters Kimberly said, healthcare. You know, these are industries that are not going anywhere, and they're going to continue to need people. So I would emphasize, you know, time management, study, especially at the younger age, the habits that you give your kids at the younger age, because they're more open to it. You know, younger children are really studious in terms of whatever mommy and daddy say, they want to do it, they want to make you happy. So if you emphasize that and give them, you know, like, you know, if I can use this example, not to say a dog will do many things, and you give him a little biscuit or something, and he's so happy, and that emphasizes to him that, hey, you did something nice, and continue it. And to get that little gift, he will continue it. I used to get stars on my little paperwork when I was in pre-K and first grade, and my mother made a big deal out of it. and gave me little ice cream and gave me little special things. And so I just got, I just said, you know what, gee, this star business is good. And I tried to get me as stars I can get. So the teacher told me, said, listen, you go take all the star from the other kids. Leave some for somebody else, you know.
Okay.
So so that's great. Just get into good study habits. That's what I would say.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Ron. That was really well said. Time management, parents, study habits, and health. Study habits, and then knowing what jobs are out there, and then also passion. If your child is not have that aptitude, right, towards health, do not say, hey, let's be a doctor. Or if they don't have, you know, the aptitude for engineering, I like to say a lot is identify their tag, their talents, their abilities, and their giftings. And then as you're training them up in that direction and that bent in their aptitude. And so, and that's how you'll support them. And once they make a decision, even if they change their mind later on, which is not a great thing when it comes down to college, but you know, once they learn, oh, I didn't really want to say be a scientist. All right. I want to be an accountant. Then once they make up their mind, then they will finish it, because they made that decision. They learned, like, wow, that's not really what I wanted to do. And now, you know, unfortunately, sometimes they got to start all over, and they may not get credit for those other courses. But it's important just to search, to support them. And what we can do now, Dr. Ron, we can go ahead and open up the line.
Okay.
And then we'll have our other segment where we want to talk about the various scholarships, and Mrs. Copeland talked about this. She did a great job talking about scholarships, and I'll go into that in a few minutes, okay?
Okay, we open up 252-624. You're on with Coach Morrell and Mrs. Kimberly Copeland. We're talking about 5 tips to help your children succeed in college. We're going to open up I think I opened up the wrong line. 252-624, your mic is open. 252-624, your mic is open. Are you there? 252-624, your mic is open. Okay. We'll go to 646. 972-646-972, your mic is open.
Yeah, what's going on? Good evening. I forgot what.
Hello.
How you doing, Coach Morrell? How you doing? How's everybody?
I'm doing fine. Back? Who do I have the pleasure of speaking with? I think I know the voice.
Yeah, this is Shalik. So I'm just
How are you, Shalik? How's it going?
Hey, you know, just enjoying life's journey, you know, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
So I can't complain.
That's important.
Yeah, the most doubt. Most definitely. I mean, excuse me. How you doing, Dr. Ron? What's going on?
Hi, how are you?
Guys, hey, man, I'm just taking it one step at a time, one day at a time. I ain't moving too fast. But I like the topic that you're talking about in terms of helping to prepare young people for college and how they're not, you know, how to basically manage health. In terms of stress, I know when I was in college, it was real stressful. I had to do papers a lot of times, write and edit papers, get ready for classes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, you know, that's actually when I started developing drinking coffee, because it kind of gave me a boost. So, but at the same token, it's good that just a little wisdom for parents who have children who are in high school. It's good to, like Dr. Ron said, to help a child develop early good study habits early, like good time management skills, good ability to, you know, equip themselves to be organized and understand and the value and importance of how to share in family affairs, like events, and take that time to sacrifice. And teaching the young people about the value about certain things, like They mean like prime example, Dr. Ron said he had a son who was involved with, who wanted to get involved with the art of music, but particularly
yes.
hip hop. So sometimes a person can be inspired by certain things, and you can actually teach the person through what they like to do about yeah. other things that can help to advance their career. So, you know, a person may want to be an artist in the music business, but they may not understand that they can learn about owning the business or mm-hmm. being a good, you know, so
yeah.
yeah, so being, you know, being a CEO. So I just say briefly that, you know, when a person is spending time with their child, to incorporate that opportunity to, like, family time, and then also sharing the child's growth and development in terms of, you know, education. If they, you know, teaching them what to read in newspapers, the value of reading certain things, how it can help to advance their financial literacy, then the investment options, and how
yeah.
to best manage their time so that they can learn to invest in their future, proper time management and you know, certain things. So that's what I just wanted to say, helping to not only just spend time, but share in the development as far as education and investment and financial things. Yeah, I'm listening.
Wow, that's powerful, Shalique. Thank you so much. You're 100% correct. Really,
yeah.
You know, you just brought out points that, you know, I was holding back because, you know, when you invite a guest on, they're the guest and they're the expert. And
right.
so those are really good points. And thank you for contributing.
Yeah.
I do appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Have a good night.
You too.
Have a good night.
Did Mrs. Copeland, do you want to add anything or?
Yes, absolutely. I enjoyed Brother Shalique was. I recognize that 646. I said that sounds like a New York number. So kudos. That's our old stomping ground. We're native
New
Yorkers.
Yes.
Oh yes,
we're remembering
different places now, but that is old stomping ground. And if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
I like that, Kim. Right.
So I wanted to add. Yes, definitely, again, allow them to zoom into their passion, and then they can always later on find another channel, another avenue. For example, like right now with the hip-hop industry, the movies that's out now, a lot of people are using those music skills to help with the movies, the theme song, the advertisements, the marketing, all of it. So sometimes all those things could work together, and then just God will make everything beautiful in its time. That's what one of the scriptures says. So being able to hone your craft, use your passion and your abilities to help, to give back. So I did want to have another shout out to Barbara. Her name is Barbara Williams. That was our youth leader mm-hmm. that helped me mentor another young man, Jerome. Minister
yes.
Thomas helped me with the math. They were math, almost, I want to say mathematicians, where they helped me with a lot of study. And they were just friends
right.
and decided that they would help me. Ultimately, like I said, I just decided, you know, to go a different route, which is the sociology and anthropology, because I spoke to a counselor. You have
mm-hmm.
the ability to speak with your counselors at school. They are paid staff there to help you. That's what they're there to do. So can't
right.
shy away. You got to go to them. You got to talk to them. If you're struggling, don't be scared to say, I'm struggling with a certain topic, a certain study. Ask them right, for guidance. In high school, I think they call them guidance counselors, but in college, they're called counselors. So I went to the
right.
LIU, the Brooklyn campus, and I had a wonderful counselor, Jones. She helped steer me in that way of sociology. But one other thing I did want to say, too, is try to identify a field because it's a little bit better for you. For example, if you do sociology, say you want to do social worker, you want to be a public advocate speaker, because it'll be easier for you in terms of getting a job. So to just encourage you again, and to also piggyback again off of Ron and Morel and Shalik as well. So one of the main purposes of going to college is definitely to change your economic status.
Yes.
It can empower you where you can earn a good salary, enough to make a living, and also if you use it in the right and tap into the right potential, you can become a millionaire. A lot of people don't know that, but in terms of owning your own business, if that's what you want, to be a millionaire. I used to always say I wanted to be comfortable, but I think to be comfortable, I do have to be a millionaire because there's so many people I want to help. But
true.
You can own your own business. It helps you to be able to communicate on certain levels. It increases your awareness of your surroundings, your environment. When you go to get a job, it prepares you to be able to confidence in yourself. And also, people look at your resume. They do actually look at the resume. Some people decide not to go to college because they feel like they can make it with a blue-collar job. And it is true. Sometimes you don't necessarily have to go to college. Oh, and that is something that Morel and I discussed earlier, too. If you want to go to a community college, if you want to go to an Ivy League college, and now a lot of people are seriously taking more advantage of the online courses because now they do have a little bit of time. They are probably in between jobs or lost a job and figured, hey, well, I've been working this job for 20 years and I've really gotten nowhere. So if I go to college and get a degree under my belt, it's attainable. That word really caught me. And I think that's a confirmation from God and for what we're all discussing today, attainable. We have a 55-year-old aunt, Morel, cousin, Shirley Ann. She got her degree at the age of 65.
I remember, yes.
How incredible was that? She got her degree at the age of 65.
Never too late, right?
Yeah, she got honored by the state of New Jersey. Mayor Cory Booker, Ross Barat honored her. She got her degree at 65. She wasn't playing. My mom also went for night school. So just, you keep going and you can take chunks out of it. It's no rush. But sometimes people just go. That's with their, instead of working a 9-to-5, some people are actually students of learning, and they love to learn.
True.
Online courses, if you're going to commute. If some kids are not ready to stay on campus. So you got to watch out for that. And then you also got to prepare them for the real life of it, of what can happen when you're on campus. So for me, studying, I was traveling. One of another friend of mine, Kimberly Dawn, she went to Fordham, and that encouraged me to go as a young person. I was like, wow, I wasn't really sure I could actually go to college, but by her going, I decided to go. She graduated at 17, so it was a year before me, and that other young person was actually a kind of a mentor and a coach and an inspiration for me to go to college. And went through a program called HEAP, Higher Education, where they paid for each semester. But because I went to LIU, which is a private school, the cost was higher. So that's why we do advocate now. Like if you want to go to community school, sometimes it may be better in terms of cost. You're not paying forever, but you want to sometimes go to a course that specializes in what you're want to study. If you want to be a doctor, if you want to be a lawyer, Duke University, we know those are specialized for doctors and medical studies. So, basically, it's where that individual is.
Yes, that's a good point. Very well taken. Wow. I'm telling you, this is a great show, and it's really needed. Dr. Ron, do we have anyone else on the line?
Yes, let's go back to, I want to give a try again. People call back in because I know the technology now because of the weather and storms in places. People are dropping off and coming back on.
Right.
But 252-624, your mic is open, 252-624. You've been hanging on a long time. Are you there?
Hello. Are you there?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Who do we have this pleasure of speaking with?
You have Jacinta, of course.
Hey, Jacinta. I'm so glad you were able to take out time in your busy schedule. Oh, she is, look,
She is my sister from the American Business Women Association. Woo! Yes, and we are on the education committee, and it's led by our president, Linda Johnson. Extraordinary.
Absolutely.
Yes. And we also have Pam, who is our secretary, Ms. Pam Kelly, along with our advisor, Ms. Wright. So I'm in good company. And when I was telling you about Raleigh, she teaches in Raleigh. Do you have a question? You have any comments you want to, what we can do, being that you're on? Well,
let me say this. I live in Raleigh, but I teach in Durham.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah, but I want to say this is the first time I was able to get on the show, and I was so blown away tonight. I think it's a phenomenal platform that you have.
Thank you. I appreciate
and
it.
I am so impressed with it, and I wish you nothing but the best with this program. And I just hope that our organization can get more involved in it and can support you in any way we can.
I so appreciate that. Oh, my God. Mr. Center, 28 years, audience. Max Pham, 28 years of teaching. Oh, my God. And guess what? We're not talking about elementary, and we're not talking about high school. Now, you may have done some different grades, but she is in the middle school, the middle age. Dr. Ron, you got to give her a hand clap.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, man, let's give it up.
Audience, you're going to have to forgive us. Thank you so much, Dr. Ron, because...
Yeah, I have to tell you, I think it's about getting on their level that makes it so rewarding because the 28 is nothing. It doesn't mean a thing to me. You have to love what you do.
True.
You have to have compassion for these kids, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them, every year when I prepare to get ready for school to open again, I'm like a kid myself.
See?
I can't wait until school starts,
Right. You were telling me that.
yeah. So, I mean, you really have to have it. It's got to be in your heart and soul to do what you do and love what you do.
It's true. That's important. Wow. So you know what I'll do, being that we have you on the line? Dr. Ron, I know we got a couple more people in the queue, right?
Yeah.
But what I'll do, because this is going to benefit the people that are in the queue, we'll go right into talking about some of the scholarships that are available. So even those people that are in the queue, if they want to ask questions while Ms. Jacinta and I were on, she is actually the chair of the education committee for ABWA, and I am the co-chair. So you're talking to, experience, excellence, and passion right now, just with both of us teaming up. And then I just realized we have a new person. I believe that's Katina. I don't know if she'll be on tonight, but at any rate, I want to talk about the scholarship. So, Max Pham, parents, children, please get your pencils, your pen. If you want to type it in your phone, you want to speak it in your phone. So I'll do my best to censor, okay, because I'm looking at my straps here. Let me just go back.
Okay. Also, to chime in, Dr. Ron and Morrell, Dr. Brown, if they also can encourage children, if they don't want to per se go to college and they want a program, there's plenty of certifications through technical schools. After I did my bachelor's, I did project management and some Microsoft classes at Avtech Institute of Technology. So I'm going to keep an open mind for that.
Right, right. And then, you know what we can do? We could actually make that a show, Kimberly, just to give more detail. Because that is important. Not so much that college is not for everyone. It's just that that may not be their aptitude, and they may need a different type of setting. And that is important, too. And because I do have information on the certification program, which is at Mallet Creek High, and then there are other schools as well, what we can do is make that another show, okay? So thank you for that input. I really appreciate it.
Sounds good.
Right. And what we want to empower our parents, guardians, that you don't have to pay all of the money for college. Your child can go for scholarships. The other thing, too, and I'll extend this to ABWA members, there is the National Scholarship Program, which is awarded each year in the amount of from $2,000 to $10,000. All the national scholarships have requirements, and it's designated by, and I'm going to give you the acronym first, SBMEF. And that stands for the Stephen Buffton Memorial Educational Fund. And what they do is, you know, you go through the selection process, and it can be not so much rigorous, it's not impossible, but you need to do your due diligence. And there is the national scholarship is open to women meeting requirements of each of the national scholarships, and I'll give you the website in a moment. And this one is a minimum of 3 applicants. You must complete the application process. You know, you start it, you want to finish it. And that's what we talked about with goal setting, right? And in the application deadline, it must be submitted May 15, 2020, 2022.
Right.
You want to elaborate on that one you know, more specifically?
The only thing I wanted to say, too, is that North Carolina Central is one of our national sponsors. ABWA. So if any students are out there that go to North Carolina Central, they need to get on it as well.
Yes, yes. And just say that one more time, North Carolina Central.
North Carolina Central University is a national sponsor for scholarships through ABWA. And if any students are in need of one, they need to hop right on it as soon as they can.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So this is your time. So it's like you can acknowledge that you may not have the funds, and that's okay. But in the minute you seek help, and that's what we talked about a little earlier, help comes. And now you have to put some energy and action towards making that happen to say, okay, absolutely, the money's there. Let me go after it and let me be vigorous. There is an opportunity here just to win a full scholarship. This is to ABWA members, full tuition for your master's degree with the, okay, as we just talked about it, North Carolina Central University, plus 15% tuition reduction. And this is to help you achieve your personal and your professional goals. And that application deadline is September 20, 2021. And again, write this down. If you have any questions, you want to speak to them, I believe, directly, the number is 844-28-3532. And I'll repeat that. 844-628-3532. And I'll talk about the American Business Women's Association. I had the pleasure of becoming a member a couple of months ago, and through a dynamic individual entrepreneur, Miss Tammy Stewart, and I attended what we call the wind down and via virtual. And I was sold. And the passion of our president is to help develop others. And when she told me that, I knew that there was no fluff. And I knew that this was a person that I could, what's the word, share my time with and my talent, and that it was worth it. And I mean, it's been a couple of months now and I have not regretting it. I'm enjoying the process. I'm meeting great businesswomen, women that are in ministry, women that, you know, professionals, parents, and women from all walks of life. And
it's
a virtual community. It's a virtual space. And the thing is that Linda, Miss Linda Johnson, is what we call authenticated, you know, in terms of she has the National Association behind her, and they offer so many different types of training. And I'll talk about this other training from the National Small Business Week Virtual Summit. That's taking place September 13th to the 15th. The event time is from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And Eastern time, that's 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. and Pacific time. And you can join that particular session. Let me just scroll down a little bit more. You're going to be learning new business strategies. You're going to meet other business owners. You're going to be chatting with industry experts. It's a three-day action-packed event that includes educational webinars, update on resources for your small business, and networking chat room for your business owner and aspiring entrepreneurs. And what you can do is you can contact the administrator, and that's Isabella, and her name is C-A-S-I-L-L-A-S. It looks like Casillas Guzman, all right, for that information. Or Jacinta, would you like to give out your telephone number, or you want them just to email you?
They can email me at Jacinta, J-A-C-I-N-T-A, dot Frank, F-R-A-N-K, at rocketmail.com.
Excellent, excellent. And audience, if you want to get in contact with me, you can reach me at Morel, M-O-R-E-A-L-E, Brown, last name is simpler, inc.com. I'm sorry, I'm giving you my, at gmail.com. Again, that's M as in Morel, Brown, INC, at gmail.com. And so you're maximize family, maximize this opportunity. You want to join the association, you can talk with myself. You know, give me a call, 862-205-9077. And as we talked about earlier, you want to have a passion. You want to know your why for joining any organization. And you can take a look at the American Business Women Association on the website. Take a look at the program and think about it, pray about it, and do your due diligence. And we would be happy to have you. And I'll be honest, in order to change the trajectory, you know, Dr. Ron, of society, and as Kimberly said, and I, you know, Mrs. Copeland, I wholeheartedly agree, we surround ourselves with education, with growing our mindset, changing our perspective of, as Kimberly was saying earlier, our upbringing. So I'm saying to you, Max Fam, it doesn't matter where you have started, it's where you're going to end up. It's, are you going to take advantage of the information that you're getting here? It's been 6 months since I've been on, you know, Neo Nation Blog Talk Radio, and maybe about 8 to 9 months since I've been doing Christian Radio Fellowship Council, that radio station, and passionately just bringing you information that you can take advantage of. And I want you to maximize. This is what this is all about. And I like to say the time at 8:24. Dr. Ron, what we'll do is, being at 8:25, we'll continue to open up the line. So
okay.
I was going to say, Dr. Jacinta, anything else you want to add?
No, just thank you. And Dr. Ron, thank you for acknowledging me tonight. And I just want to say, Morel,
you
rock. You rock.
Well, thank you. I so appreciate it. God is good. Oh, man, I love imparting information, and I look to continue to gleaned from you your wealth of knowledge and your experience in working with ABA, as well as Pam Kelly, the Secretary of ABA for the Charlotte chapter, and with the Limited Ladies, right? The Charlotte chapter.
Yes,
I'm excited about
absolutely.
And yes, and Kimberly, hold on. We're not finished. We have some more Q&A, and then I'll tell you about our fundraiser for my nonprofit. Dr. Ron, do you have anybody else?
Oh, okay, for those who probably got kicked off and back on, we're on with Coach Morrell and Mrs. Kimberly Copeland from Long Island University. We're talking about five tips that you can use to enhance your college experience, better college experience for your children. So we're going to open up 863-337. 863-337, your mic is open. 863-337, your mic is open. You can unmute yourself.
Hello, hi. Okay. My name is Tasia Payu. I'm actually
hey.
Tim's daughter. I just called to listen in. I didn't. I just actually joined. So,
thank you so much for coming on. I invited her. Tasia, I appreciate you listening. I gave kudos. I gave a shout out to you. That's my daughter. I gave kudos about you, Yvonne, and Kiana, how proud you all have made me to decide
Wonderful.
To go on further with your education. Can you tell them, just to elaborate a little bit about what you ventured out to do in terms of your study? And I told them that you have your theology degree. So tell them a little bit about that, if you can, please.
That's a proud mom.
I originally, when I first started college or post-secondary education, my major was in biology. I did not start a career or actually get a job in that field, but later on I did continue on in education in a different area, and I ended up studying theology. And that's where I completed. I had my associates. I have two associates in biology, and I have my bachelor's in theology.
Wow, that's great. That is great.
And went to the name of the school.
The word of the school is Word of Grace and Truth Christian University. It's located in Tampa, Florida, under Professor Dozier, Thomas Dozier. He's also the pastor of Word of Grace and Truth Ministries.
Yeah, so kudos, shout out to them. I'm so proud of you, babe. I love you.
Yes.
And she's also a master in spoken word. You have to get her on with one of her spoken words. For our family reunion. But it is actually Casilla. I think you mentioned it was Kiana, but it was Casilla that got the scholarship for her first 2 years at Middlesex County in college.
Oh, Casilla. Okay. Wow.
I forgot about that. But Kiana did, she did make the dean's list
right.
I think 2 years
Wonderful.
Ago for Middlesex County College. So, you
right.
know, it's attainable, doesn't matter your background, your pedigree, where you come from. If you want to do it, you can do it. You still can do it. You just have to hold on, believe, trust God, and it's a faith walk as well.
Yes.
Love you, babe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Katrina.
A mother of my grandchildren.
wonderful.
Yeah, what we're gonna have to do is another time just have the whole family on, you know. And again, just talking about overcoming barriers and making it happen. Okay, so Dr. Ron, we have anyone else?
Yeah, I just wanna say that Mr. and Mrs. Kimberly Copeland and your husband, you just made a big hit. Three great children academically achieving, that is just a blessing from God. And I just want to say that I'm proud of you, your husband, and your children.
Thank you so much. Yes. And I want Dr. Ron and Morel to give yourselves a hand for doing such a tremendous job with this presentation and all the shows that you have been conducting.
Thank you so much.
And then when you shout out to your niece in South Carolina, now that's my neck of the woods. I like to give a shout out.
Yes.
I'm from South Carolina, so I would. Always when the South Carolina come up, I'm always shouting out.
That has to be another segment too. Then we have to get into that.
Oh, you know what? It was funny because I thought about it, but then I said that would have to be a whole new show on family and finding your roots. You know,
that's right. Let's shout out.
Yeah,
there you go. Holla. So we're gonna open up Mike.
Yes.
Mike 919-998, and we're talking with Coach Morel and Mrs. Kimberly Copeland, and she's from Long Island University. And we're talking about five tips to assist your children going to college, and as well as if they're in college. So we're going to open up 919-998. Your mic is open, 919-998.
Am I on the air? This is Pam Kelly.
Hey, Ms. Pam Kelly, how are you?
Hi, Coach Morel. I have been listening since the beginning of the program. And,
thank you so much.
The information is just so relevant to what is going on with our young people. And I want to thank you for mentioning my favorite buzzword, which is preparedness.
Yes.
Because as we talked about, as the conversation revolved around how our young people need to develop study habits, they need to have a passion, and I constantly consider that self-preparedness cannot start early enough, and I had to learn that. The difficult way, because later in life I learned the value of preparedness, just being self-prepared and not waiting for others to guide you to the well. You have to be passionate and pursue it. And Mrs. Copeland and both yourself and Dr. Ron also mentioned the importance of faith and trusting God. I just want to put that out there that if those two things can be introduced to our young people early, the value and the expectation, in partnering with our kids, we have to raise those expectations, because now they are in a virtual learning environment, and it's going to be that way for the foreseeable future. So unless they have the attribute or attitude or second nature of self-preparedness and trusting God, they're going to be constantly left behind or playing catch-up. So I just wanted to echo my agreement and support of all the sentiments and the comments around that. So great show. I'm glad I tuned in, and I will definitely be visiting more often.
Yes, well, thank you. I so appreciate hearing your voice, and thank you for everything that you've done. I like to say, because I understand administration, just to get, the ABAWA Charlotte chapter, Limited Ladies to where it is, and just being such a force in what you do and your passion, and thank you for that word. And I think that's going to I don't know if that's your word for 2021, but guess what? I'm taking it on as well. And
we can make it part of our brand, the brand for our community, our organization, because it is powerful when we prepare, the future is limitless. When we trust God and self-care, it's limitless. So thank you for all you are doing. I'm just
my pleasure.
This program.
And thank you for such kind words and your input.
Well, thank you.
It was a pleasure hearing your voice.
Okay. Yes, now we're going to go to, we've got a lot of text messages as well. So just try
okay,
to, you
great.
Know, band it out with the text messages. Okay, so we have a question for Mrs. Kimberly Copeland from Mrs. Letitia Crawford, and she's from Chicago, Illinois. She says she has three kids, ages 4, 6, and 9, and she wants to know what are certain types of studies that she should teach them now at this age to get them into good academic programs as they go into, I guess, the junior high school and high school.
Wow, that's an awesome question. I want to say hi, Letitia Crawford. I think it's ordained that you are listening in. We knew a Crawford family in New York.
Yes, we did.
I have just been praying for that particular family.
Yes.
So God is good all the time. So what I want to say to you is you have the perfect ages because somebody mentioned it earlier. I forget exactly who, but at those ages, they're like sponges.
Yes.
Their minds are open. I think it was Dr. Ron that touched on it or Brother Shalit. But they're more open-minded. They imitate. That is one of the things that my kids actually, all except the youngest one, they actually was able to come to my graduation when I graduated from LIU. They were actually
yes.
able to come as like kids, like 10. They were about already 10 and 8, and my mom and my stepdad brought them along with my husband. They attended my grad. So they see, they look at you. They also mm-hmm. pattern from each other. For example, when my mm-hmm. kids were smaller, if one of them ate their string beans, and I said, oh, she ate all her string beans, and my son said, oh, I'm going to eat mine.
Yes.
They challenge each other. Also, another thing that we did have a program. My husband had a program. Whenever they got an A in a particular subject, they got $5. So they was happy for those A's. And then when one child started bringing in the A, the other started bringing in the A. So basically just trying to get a time for them to get them, start them off with, they can start off with small books. And my mother bought us encyclopedias. Mariah, you remember that?
The
why
I
and
do.
How.
Yes. The main encyclopedias.
Right. If they can develop a love for reading, that's another resource for them. And as they continue to grow and get older, there are so many other resources for them. I remember it's a matter of the school that they go to, too, because we had these books called the SRA books. I don't know
yes.
if everybody also had those, the different color coded. We learned
mm-hmm.
different language studies. So they will encourage each other and also encourage them to get when they choose friends in school to pick good friends, not the ones
mm-hmm.
that are goofing off, but the ones that are studying, because then they're going to glean off of them as well. So that's,
yes.
that's the best advice that I can give them. Can anybody else, if you want to, you can chime in. Yeah.
I say them $5 can make you break. I'm just kidding. You got to do this for kids. You'd be like every day, okay, here's $5. It's like, you know, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But that's a fantastic. I think you have to, kudos out to your husband. I think that's a great gesture. You know, when I was growing up, it was a penny. You know, I give you a penny, you know. But that's a good suggestion. And I think that's a good encouragement because one of the key things that successful people – blah, blah, blah. The millionaires and billionaires always say, you know, you get all these study programs on how to improve yourself economically and emotionally and financially. They always say, give yourself a prize when you make a good closing or you get a big paycheck on Friday or something like that. They always say, buy yourself something, you know. So I think that's cool, you know, to encourage the children by giving them a gift or something or taking them out to their favorite movie and things of that sort, you know. I did that with a couple of my kids as well, and that's very helpful. I was also to suggest that, you know, like you say, children are sponges at that age. They're absorbing everything and anything, and there are a lot of negativity out there that, as well. I would suggest letting the children differentiate, because a lot of times people want to not talk to their children about negativity. But like you said, Sister Kimberly, watch the type of friends they hang out with you, which is key. because you could be the excellent parent, you could be going to church, and children can direct children in other ways because friendships and things of that sort. So watch out who your kids hang out with, and keep encouraging good behavior. You know, keep, and the lady told me in church, she said, speak those things. She said the Bible says speak those things that if they exist. So she said, keep saying to your kids they're good, they're smart. Uh-huh. Don't say negative things to your kids, parents. Don't get so upset, and I've been there. I'm from South Carolina, so you know. I've been there where you say mean things, and I've learned. No, this oldest, this sister, this grandmother, she taught me, speak things to your children that are good. You know, say you are a good boy. You are successful. Mm-hmm. You are smart. You know, what they call right now affirmations, and those things are very good when your children are younger. Because sometimes when they get a little older, y'all, 18, 19, 21, 30, you know, it's a little, I'm not saying you can't reach them, but it's a little more difficult because having four boys and two girls, myself, and my youngest is a girl, my oldest is a girl, but having four boys, it gets to a point where, you know, you're battling certain ideologies. You know what I'm saying? When you go to school and you study, dig it, when you go to school and you study, you get a degree, your mind is open up that you know something that maybe nobody else don't know. So, you know, so your parents can say things, and you're like, oh, well, did the professor say that? Did that make sense?
Yes, that's true, Dr. Ron.
Yeah. So I said, you know, get in early, do what you have to do. You know, Leticia.
And so true. So I want to throw in one more thing. At one point, my husband said, wow, this is breaking me with the $5. But then also, we would tell them, like, okay, so one time we said, you can pick your restaurant you want to go to. And they happen to love seafood, too. So they said, Red Lobster.
Yeah.
We had to send them the Red Lobster, like, every quarter. The school also had a program. The school actually had a program. It was the readers. Everybody probably remember that. Like, if you read a certain amount of books, they would give them a certificate to, out here at the time, it was the Old Country Buffet. That was a local school. They sponsored. They became an association in between the school and the PTA program and the school, and they read a certain amount of books, they got a certificate, and they could eat free to a particular restaurant. So that's another thing that you can do. And my sister Margaret was good at that also. She actually went into the school system, right, Morrell? Got involved with the PTA.
Yes, she did.
She got involved with the PTA programs, became one of the leaders, and started working in the school. So be very involved and interested in their education, and you can change the trajectory of the way that's even going if you're not happy.
True.
We'll be praying for you and your three, and trust that they can make it. And
speak
into their lives too, like Brother Ron said, and say, you're going to be great. You're going to be a doctor. Some coaches say, you're going to be a doctor. You're going to be a lawyer. They do tell them, and they stick with it. It depends sometime on where you come from. They know how that struggle is harder in certain countries, and they don't play. You have to come home. You have to study. It's compulsory.
Oh, yeah.
Some countries, education is compulsory. It's not a choice. You have to go.
Sure.
So we got a little bit more freedom in America, so it's a little bit difficult sometimes to make that decision. Am I going? I want to go. Do I have a mind to go? Do I have this? Mm-hmm. No, you're going.
So,
got to, you know, really pray and again trust God. Always trust God.
Absolutely. That's good.
And we have Mrs. Nancy Battle from Concord, Massachusetts. She says she has a 14-year-old son, and she's trying everything to find out what he's compassionate about. Though he loves sports and video games, other than that, she can't figure out how to get his academic passion going. She's having a problem trying to identify what can she use to get him academically involved. He's not very involved. He's not bad, she's saying here. He's not bad in school, but he's not participating with answering questions when the teacher asks him and submitting his homework on time.
Wow.
Yeah, that one is it can be a little bit challenging because it's kind of almost the way of the world and in terms of technology, the game, the after-school curriculum. Sometimes, you know, if they just have one parent in the home, and if both parents are in the home, they have to both work. Sometimes when the kids come home, if they're latchkey kids, then they're going to do sometimes what they really want to do instead of what they should be actually doing. So, again, a lot of prayer, supplication, try to get mentors for them, coaches, get them connected to somebody that's going to motivate them. The games, I think at a certain age, if we can try to steer them away from it, if we can get them at a young enough age where, you know, it's not something that we have to put in their hands, I would suggest not to let them get in that involved with it. Mm-hmm. So it's not the end of the world, because even though my son is in nursing and got the certifications, he still has that passion for games. And at one point, I mean, that him and that game, they're one sometimes. And at one point, he had told my husband he wanted to do gaming. And my husband really kind of discouraged him from that. I was kind of on the fence with it because, like I said, God can use anything. And then you could use it in certain areas. But he is something that he loved. But then he also, because of some of the friends that he got connected to, one of the friends actually told him about the nursing and how much money you can make, and that's what he did. He did what, you know, that was suggested to them. So sometimes, like, that's why I said to the prior young lady, sometimes who they're connected with, make sure they choose their friends are studying, and then sometimes they'll just piggyback off of that. But in mm-hmm. any rate, as long as you're encouraging them what they, you know, want to do, and just show them what you can do. You can be an author, you can be a doctor, you can be a lawyer, you could be the president of the United States. And one thing I didn't know is this, going to college is not a prerequisite of being the president of the United States. Did y'all know that?
True, right.
Out of time. Exactly. You got to have some money, probably, campaign. But you don't have to have a degree for that. So,
right. I think it's maximum age, 35 years old, and American born.
You don't have to do that. Yes. And a lot of people did not know this. So, you know, you can say go, you can be what you want to be and do what you want to go as high as you want to go, and let them know. Write it out. Like, I like the segment that Bill Cosby did when Theo came and he said, "Well, I want to be out of my own. I'll have to pay rent." Well, how much is rent? $5. He gave him some paper money. Started deducting the money. Sometimes they got to see it in numbers, because as long as you're paying the bills, you're doing it. They don't have to see that, so they think, okay, I'm fine. I can just live off mommy and daddy, but not knowing what happens, God forbid, if they're not here. So hopefully that answered your questions. Try to get them other mentors. Make sure they're with the right people, the right crowd. So even if they're playing the games, they still have a good enough study habit to know that they have to make it and they can make it. Or do anybody else have anything to add for that?
Yes, thank you so much, Kim, just for your wisdom and your input and the experience that you have, you know, with your three children and being able to talk to Miss Nancy Battle. What I wanted to just talk about briefly, Mom always say I'm long-winded, so I'll make this as short as possible.
You all got
it up. Being able to identify what your child's, I call it tag, talent, their abilities and their gifting. And I can help in that area and to see their learning styles. If there's even challenges within learning how your child best receives information, hear the information and perceives the information. And then making sure that the teachers or the environment, even within your home, is serving your child in that capacity of his learning style or his learning modalities. And then asking him, what is he passionate about? If the school, when we were talking about setting goals, schools are very fast-paced, especially high school. He's 14 years old. He should be in high school. So the school system is not waiting. It's quick, fast. It's in a hurry. And they need to grasp if it's algebra, you know, trigonometry, and finding out if there's barriers. What is his barriers? You know, maybe why he's not as passionate. Talking to him, and as Shalique said earlier, just spending that time with your child so that they can feel comfortable with you to talk and to share with you. The other thing I want to add in terms of gaming, there's a poster at Mallard Creek High, and this is from former President Obama, says, instead of playing a game, why don't you program the game? And that's where getting certificates in Microsoft, as Kim alluded to, as far as certificate programs. And because every child may not necessarily have the passion for learning, especially the way it's presented at school, but it does not mean that they are not, quote unquote, have an A-level, B-level mentality. It's translated differently through testing. You may not be able to see it through testing or through the school system, but being able to take him out into the community, doing different things and studying, you know, let's just say, if you think about motion, science, right? Gravity, looking at throwing the ball up, the ball dropping, or the plane, all those type of things, talking to him and giving him those experiences, taking him on different types of trips so that you can see what ignites his passion. And the school system, and even as Pam Kelly was saying, that the reality is, I would say this, perhaps pandemic or no pandemic, the new way of teaching and learning may be remotely, and but you have that responsibility to take him out into the world so that you can see all of his wisdom and what, in a sense, ignites his passion and gets his eyeballs shining and things like that. What is he excited about? Taking things apart. You may not always see it in the academics, and that is another show, so I'm going to end right there. But thank you, Ms. Battle. Give me a call, you know, 862-205-9077. And Dr. Ron, do we have anyone else? And then we'll get ready to wrap it up.
Yeah, I think your wrap-up timing is, you know, you should do that now.
Okay. All right.
Yes. 7 minutes and, you know, to the musical thing at the end, you know.
Right. Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you so much. I want to thank all the parents, guardians, supporters, American Business Women Association, you know, Jacinta Frank, Ms. Jacinta Frank, all due respect, Ms. Pam Kelly, our secretary of American Business Women Association, Ms. Copeland, who called in, Ms. Payute, excuse me. My niece is married with two children, and the different hold on one second. You know, and just the parents that called in with your questions, Shalique, who called in with his answers, Dr. Ron, Dr. Winborn, the visionary for Neo Nation, giving us this opportunity. It is 6 months. I'm in my 6 months, Dr. Ron. And, of course,
amen.
Last but not least, Mrs. Kimberly Ann Copeland. Yes, I said your whole government name. Just for teaching us. And encouraging parents how to be fully engaged in their child's development, especially five tips to help your child, your young adult in college. This is not the time that you leave them alone. This is the time that you really hold their hand, and so that you can be in the 411, know their business, and making sure you can anticipate some of their moves before they make it, right? And making sure that you're there, your partner in their success. And Dr. Ron, I want to talk about quickly, audience, MaxFam. This particular segment is brought to you by Morrell Brown Incorporated, which is the for-profit business. And so call for coaching, call for mentoring, call if you want to write a book or if you need coaching with your book, call if you need ministry development. But then we also have
the MPB Family Development Center, which is a 501c3 tax-exempt organization where our goal is to strengthen families to achieve well-being, and I do it all the time. And our objective is to provide research-based programs, services, and strategies for your children, your youth, and your family so that they can achieve health and well-being. So we need your help. We are doing a fundraiser. We usually do it quarterly. And we have the swag T-shirt. And as we come to the end of this swag, the S is for self-esteem. The W is wealth building. The A is achievement. The G is growth mindset. The O is opportunities. And the N is networking. We want you to support us. They have good quality T-shirts, black and yellow. You know, black is the background and yellow is the print. And it says, get your swag on with the acronyms or the spelling of each of those entities or framework that we'll be using to help build children and families and community. And small to extra large is $16.99, and 1X to 4X is $20.99. Please, for those that are going to be ordering, just add on $5 for shipping and handling in the United States. And then definitely ask us about discounts on bulk order. You can actually purchase a lot of T-shirts and do fundraising for your business, your ministry, or just personally. And that will help us to be able to fund our program. And that is the MPB Family Development Center. And you will get a tax break at the end of the year, and that's the great thing. You can call me at 862-205-9077, or you can visit my website for additional services, www.morel, and that's spelled M as in Morel, O-R-E-A-L-E, Brown, INC.com. Thank you all. And once again, to Kimberly and Copeland. And if you have any additional questions, any resources you may need, you can give me a ring. And if you want to connect with Kimberly, call me, and we will make that happen. Again, God bless you. You're getting over the hump. It is Wednesday. Have a great one. You've been listening to Morel Brown. Maximize your life. We help you to use your ability to make maximum impact. God bless you. Love you. Bye-bye.
Come on, everybody. Put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world. Listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Just go.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause
God is in control,
y'all. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Hey.
England was not a place where I wanted to be.